press it again and it stops flashing the next recording.
Okay, so we're going to look, and the subject I really want to talk about today is thanking God for those who have influenced us to trust in Christ. Okay, so all of us here today believe in Jesus. We've been born again, our spirits are alive, and you know, we know that when our time comes to leave this body behind like an old suit of clothes, we're going to step into the presence of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And the Bible calls it falling asleep. And then when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a loud trumpet blast, and that's when we get our new bodies back. And then we're going to live forever with the Lord, and he's going to make this earth completely new. There's a big climate conference going on in Cairo today, and you know, they're going to have to accept that this world cannot organise itself to save the planet. You know, it's all going pear-shaped. That's what they're talking about in Egypt today. But the good news is God can handle it. God created this planet. He's going to fix it. And the best thing all those people in Cairo could do is surrender their lives to Jesus and get on their knees and ask him for wisdom about what to do. Sadly, a lot of them won't, because they think they can fix it themselves. But coming back to, let's look at some scriptures together. So, you know, these Bible verses today, as I said earlier, have kind of been inspired by my dad, who is now with the Lord. And he gave his life to the Lord at university, his first year at university. He was raised in a home. my grandparents were Christians. They took him to a church every Sunday of his life. And he knew all the Bible. And, you know, if you'd asked him, he could have told you anything about the Bible. But he didn't have a living relationship with Jesus himself. Because the church he went to, they talked about God. And they sang lots of songs about God. And they talked about the Bible a bit. But they never really challenged people to trust in Jesus themselves for their for the forgiveness of their sins, and that they could know God as their Father. So my dad went to university, he joined the Christian Union. So if any of you guys go to university in the future, join the Christian Union, find a good church. So my dad went to the Christian Union, they had an evangelist there who explained to him what the Bible was really about. It's really all about Jesus, and it's really all about surrendering your life to Jesus. And the Bible verse that the man spoke about was Revelation chapter 1, chapter 3, I think it's verse 20, where Jesus says, "I'm standing at the door of your heart or your life, and I'm knocking. If you hear my voice, open the door and let me in." And that really spoke to my dad's heart, and he went forward and he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ, and he asked Jesus to forgive him for the things he'd done wrong, and he trusted in Jesus as his Lord and Saviour. So that happened several years before he married my mum, and then I was born. So I grew up in a home where my dad was believing in Jesus and living, trying to follow Jesus the best he could. So this scripture here, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is writing to his Christian friends in Corinth. He said, "Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church." Now, there's so much in these verses. What Paul is talking about here is he actually led these people in Corinth to Jesus. Okay, so he in that sense, he was their father through the gospel. And so people, as you get older and as you go through life, there are people you're going to meet, and they're going to come to believe in Jesus because of you. And if they're people who live near you, or you're going to be able to see regularly, you can be like a spiritual father to them. You can invest in them. And this is the relationship Paul had with them. And he also had that same relationship with Timothy. Timothy was a younger guy who Paul had led to the Lord and who had discipled and taken under his wing. And these verses remind us that in a church, you've got different age groups. Okay. Now, in one sense, we're all brothers and sisters. Okay. I was talking to Macaulay this week. He went to his brother's baptism last Sunday, and the vicar of the church there is known as Father. And we were talking about, Jesus said, don't call anyone your father, because you have one Father in heaven, okay? And that's God. So we were talking about the fact that, you know, although I'm the pastor of this church, I am really your brother. You don't call me Father John or stuff like that, because we all have the same Father. Amen. This is another aspect of the Christian life. This is how, as God's family together, Paul says, treat older men like fathers in the church. Treat younger women like sisters and so on. So it's great. Even in our church family, we've got a wide range of ages. So, you know, you can treat someone like older brothers or like grandfathers or like fathers or like sons, like daughters, like sisters or brothers. So the family is one of the best pictures of what a church should be like, and we should care for one another. Now, the other thing from these verses is that the best way we can learn to do something is imitate. My wing mirror got smashed off last weekend by a car coming, driving over the wrong side of the road and hitting my car. Thank God we were safe. The angels were watching over us. So I got myself a new wing mirror this week, and I thought, I'm just going to see if I can fix it on the car myself. So what do you do when you want to learn how to do that? YouTube, yeah. So I found this video, and then I realised it was a lot more complex. I basically got to take the whole door to bits, and there was loads of screws in difficult places. We've got to have these weird tools. So I thought, you know what? I'm not going to do that. The car needs a service anyway. They can fit the wing mirror. So I'll just give him the wing mirror. But, you know, watching videos online is very useful. When you see someone doing something, it's a lot easier than reading a book about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when you staff join where I work at the hospital, we've got a quality manual about that thick. And if you're struggling with insomnia, I can let you have a copy, because it will put you to sleep, I guarantee you. But you know, when I started working there, which was nearly 30 years ago, they didn't have a quality manual. What they said is, fix that, and if you didn't know how to do it, if I didn't know how to do it, I'd go over and go to Mark or Tony, say, Tony, how do you do this? And they'd show me. And that is the best way to learn. It's much it's much more effective than reading a book about it. So in the Christian life, the number one way for us to learn how to obey Jesus, the best way is if you see someone doing it. And as the parents here among us, that's the best way our children can learn how to follow Jesus, if we follow Jesus and they can see it, us doing it consistently day by day. And I'm so grateful to God that my dad modelled that for me. He wasn't perfect, but he I'd give him a very high score in terms of the way he lived. And we'll look at that a bit more. So Paul also said, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So people, you know, we pray a lot for our people of peace. They're watching us all the time. And as we copy Jesus, as we live as Jesus lived and do the things that Jesus would do, then we're actually proclaiming the good news of Jesus to everybody around us who can see us. If we choose not to swear, people notice that. If we choose to be honest, not to steal, people notice that. If we choose to be kind and help people, people notice that. And, that is one of the powerful ways the gospel the good news of Jesus is shared by our lives. In Ephesians 5, this is the Passion Translation, it says, be imitators of God in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters. Tell the person next to you, you are God's deeply loved son or daughter.
You are God's deeply loved son.
Cliff, you are God's deeply loved son. And continue to walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ, for he surrendered his life as a sacrifice for us. His great love for us was pleasing to God, like an aroma of adoration, a sweet healing fragrance. So God is our Father, so we want to imitate him. So that's one reason to read the Bible, because if you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation every day, consistently, not the whole thing, but obviously you read it consistently, a little bit, every day, and over time you'll go through the whole book. You'll begin to build a picture of what God's like, And then that will allow you to copy him when you're faced with different situations in his life. And because my dad, my human dad, loved me so much, I wanted to imitate him, certainly after I became a Christian. And that's what, you know, when you know how much God loves you, you will love him back. It says in the Bible, we love him because he first loved us. Amen. And Jesus said about the woman who poured expensive perfume all over his feet, she loves me much because she was forgiven much. Now, how much have we been forgiven? Everything, okay? And none of us deserve to go to heaven. All of us deserve, the wages of sin is death, being separated from God. None of us deserve to live for God forever, but God loved us anyway, and he sent Jesus to die for us. So when we realize, the more we realize of how much God loves us, the more we love him. And it talks here about how Jesus surrendered his life. So when I think about my dad, he did a very good job in modeling the love of God to me. So we all, I think, know these famous verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's the definition of what love is as far as God is concerned. The Greek word for love in the Bible is agape, and it's different to just friendship or other kinds of love, romantic love. Agape is God's kind of love, and this is how it's defined. And I can put my dad's name, I can take the word love out of this sentence and put my dad's name in there, and that's a pretty accurate picture of how he modelled to me what love is. And so, you know, you can put your name in there and just declare it over yourself. Just speak words of faith that because God has poured his love into our hearts, you know, you can be patient and kind. Let's just read this together, and we'll say I. Let's put I in, okay? And let's just declare it over ourselves. I am patient and kind. I am not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. I do not demand my own way. I am not irritable, and I keep no record of being wronged. So if you ask me about if anyone's ever done anything wrong to me in the past, sorry, can't remember anything. Let's carry on. I do not rejoice about injustice, but I rejoice whenever the truth wins out. I never give up. I never lose faith. I'm always hopeful, and I endure through every circumstance. Praise God. And that's a faith statement, not in our own ability, but because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And as I think about my dad and these verses here, you can measure someone's maturity as a Christian, which means someone who follows Christ, by their character, not just their words or their outward appearances. Anyone can tell you they're a Christian. But if you see this verse lived out in their life, if that person is patient and kind, they're not jealous of, and all the rest of these, they are, you found yourself a genuine Christian. Because these are supernatural qualities. No human can live like this, you know, in their own strength for any length of time at all. And if you're single and you're wanting to be married in the future, these are the kind of qualities, firstly, you want to be able to see developing in your own life, because if you want a healthy marriage, you need to have these qualities, because your spouse will irritate you. Okay? They will get up your nose. And if you can have the love of God developed in your life, that you are not easily irritated, you're going to be a blessing as a husband or a wife to them. Secondly, you want to look for someone with these qualities to be your spouse. Okay? That's more important than what they look like physically, because as they get older, you know, I've got grey hair, I'm not looking quite as stunningly handsome as I did 25 years ago. But I think the reason Karen stuck with me is that some of this stuff is growing and developing in my life. Okay? And that's more important, Karen, isn't it, than my stunning good looks?
Yeah.
Amen. Not rare, quite rare. Karen says amen to my messages, but they've got on there. So, okay. Right. No, you do encourage me, Karen. Sorry. I apologise, sweetheart. Please will you forgive me?
Right then.
Yeah. Right. That's the other key to marriage, saying sorry and asking them to forgive you and put your foot in it. So, And so also with your friends, if you think about the people you enjoy spending time with, they're usually people who have some of these qualities going in their life. Here's another quality that I think about when I think about my dad. Romans chapter 12, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. I think the New King James Version says, never be lacking in zeal, but work hard, serve the Lord. So my dad modelled that for me. He didn't really sit around, you know, he was very active, worked hard all his life, and provided for me and the rest of my family. And that's a quality the Lord helps us to do. Psalm 16 says, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. How many of you know that God is a joyful God? He's a happy God. And Dave Jewell, some of us remember him, he said, you know, Jesus laughed a lot. He's bring that out. It says in Hebrews that Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy more than his brothers or his companions. And my dad was a lot of fun. He always liked to joke and laugh. He'd usually laugh at my jokes, which is nice, as not everyone does. We had a similar sense of humour, and I have many happy memories of fun with my dad. And that reminds me again what God's like. Some, you know, you meet some Christians and they look really miserable, and you know, they're not really reflecting the character of God very well. So I'm just joy, laughter, and fun are found in God's presence. Just look at the baby animals He's designed and created. We like in our family, we sometimes like watching videos of baby animals. And that tells you a little about God's creation. He could have made them all very boring and, you know, just doing things. But He made them very fun and cute. And that tells you a bit about God's character. Let's look at another verse from the Bible. 1 Peter 2 says, get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk, so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you've had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Now, one thing my dad gave to me was a hunger for the Bible, for reading the Bible. He read it pretty much every day of his life, as far as I know. And he wasn't just doing it out of religious tradition. He was hungry to know about God more and to put it into practice. And when I was a teenager, he said to me, I think I was about 14 and 15, he said to me, why don't you and me read through the Bible in a year together? And we were using these Bible reading notes called Every Day with Jesus, and they'd just come out with a new version that allowed you to get through the Bible in a year together. So that's what I did, and I'm so glad I did, and I've just carried on in that way throughout my adult life. So you parents here, if you haven't read through the Bible with your yeah, once your children are old enough to do that, why don't you do that for as a something you do together? You will never regret that. And you can tell one thing I take from my dad's life. You can tell someone's attitude to Jesus Christ by their attitude to the Bible. Do they love, honour, respect, and hunger for God's words? Some Christians, they will say they love Jesus, but they don't believe all the Bible. They think maybe there was a big bang and it was all evolved, and so Genesis is just stories. Some people don't believe Jesus did all the miracles, you know, some people. But the people I recognise that have that attitude, whatever the Bible says, I might not understand it, I might not have, but I'm going to accept this is from God, this is Jesus talking to me, and I'm going to humbly ask Jesus to explain to me what it means. They're the people I can see who love Jesus the most, who really are following him as closely as they can. And I'm so grateful that my dad modelled that for me, and I, you know, I encourage you to do the same. Here's another verse to talk about our attitude to God's word. In Hebrews, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So these verses talk about you can come to the Bible and treat it like milk, or you can come to the Bible and treat it like solid food, and it just depends about what stage of maturity you're in your walk with the Lord. So we grow and mature by doing what God says in the Bible and imitating Jesus Christ. And those people we know who are more experienced at doing this, the evidence and fruit of this lifestyle is that we become more like Jesus in our character and behaviour, a living example of the love of God in action. So, you know, some of us, we're at different levels of maturity within our church family. What helps you to mature is actually doing what God says. So you need to read the Bible, you need to understand what it says, and then you need to do it. And as you do it, you actually develop those skills to learn what's right and wrong in this situation. In those situations where the Bible doesn't give a clear guidance, you will kind of know on the inside, based on your experience of following what God says in his word in other areas, about the way to go. So I just wanted to share those scriptures with us this morning. And then in small groups, I'd like us to just talk and pray together. I've got three questions at the bottom here, maybe groups three or four, including the children as well. Question one, who has influenced you to trust in Jesus Christ? So your younger ones, it's probably going to be your parents, but you never know, you may have others that you know as well. And question two, what have you seen and learned from those people? And number three, let's pray together. Let's thank God for those people who have had a good influence on us. And let's pray for our people of peace, because we are influencing them, that God will use us this week to show them what Jesus is really like with our actions as well as our words. Okay? So then we'll take communion together. I'm not sure if that means getting ready. We might need someone to fill the cups at the back, actually, and mix up some squash just to take communion. But let's stand up together. And we will get into, so see if you can get at least one person in your group that isn't a member of your household, and